702.
Call Refilwe on 011
883 0702.
So in this segment of the show, we look to the future and we're looking at the politics of secondhand clothing traffic on the African continent. We're having this conversation because as I was scrolling away sometime this week, I came across a rather interesting post by Mamiwata Surf. This is a surf clothing brand that does rather incredible work in terms of bringing water, surfing, the ocean closer to the Black experience. Also, I guess, a work of reclamation and remembrance and saying that we are one with water. It's just a relationship that has been, you know, either willfully or forcibly forgotten. At any rate, that's the mission of that particular clothing brand. But most importantly, what they've done is, as opposed to creating new garments, they've created a limited range of clothing that uses items found in various African markets, whether you go to the Danusa market in Johannesburg, whether you at the Deadman's market in Niger, for instance, or, you know, those secondhand clothing markets in Nairobi as well. The guys at Mamiwata Surf have decided to create the Amerique collection. It's a limited run of repurposed sweatshirts and hoodies. So each product is a unique one-of-one item, and it talks to, I guess, what they call the exciting and important global influence of African creative culture in the Western context. And what they do is they find something that's been, you know, essentially dumped on African shores, and they put the Mamiwata logo on it. And, you know, other sort of creative elements. But it's really made me think about, you know, the kind of impact that fast fashion has on local markets. The fact that each year 53 million tons of discarded clothing are either incinerated or go to landfills. That's according to the Columbia Climate School. But most of these landfills are in fact countries in the global south. So due to American lobbying and worldwide pressure, Uganda, among other East and West African countries, receive 70% of imported used clothing on the continent. And I really wonder what this kind of dumping does to African economies. But most importantly, how should we start thinking around fast fashion? How should we start thinking around how we consume and buy and wear and discard of our clothes and our attitudes towards clothing? Well, helping us have that conversation this morning is Declan Gibbon. Declan Gibbon is a fashion consultant as well as writer, joining us now via Zoom. Declan, welcome to Weekend Breakfast. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Good morning, Refilwe. Thank you for having me.
It is an absolute pleasure to have you on, Declan. Fast fashion is a concept that has grown in leaps and bounds in popularity over the past two decades. If you could just give us, of course, a no-brainer, but give us a working sort of definition of fast fashion. What are we talking about when we use that term?
So I'm going to use another term for you. I think it's the race to the bottom. And the global north is in this current race to the bottom where they're cutting the lines of manufacturing, of labor rights, et cetera, et cetera. So everything is just going down while production is going up. Yeah. So fast fashion, in essence, is just about overconsumption, overproduction, and manufacturing demand. And unfortunately, we are facing the consequences of it compared to the global north.
Mm-hmm. We're facing the consequences of it compared to the global north. And in many ways, people in the global north are faced with appeals for clothing donations because they somehow think that they're doing good somewhere there. Someone somewhere there in Africa, will benefit from these clothing donations. But a lot has changed from the days of these clothes, these donations being well-made designer goods to now this sort of synthetic, you know, the synthetic goods that we arrive, or synthetic goods that have been quickly copied and ripped off, of like design catwalk designs, that were all sort of, as you say, fawning over and excited about. When we talk about the disastrous impact on the global south, what are we talking about? Yes, I've mentioned the 53 million tons of clothing that ends up in landfills. What else is happening with these clothes?
I mean, so yes, there are still some good quality secondhand clothes, but I mean, 70% of all discarded clothes end up in Africa. And your point about donations is very good, because it's always infuriated me how the West believes they're donating to Africa, about how Africa's crying out for these secondhand clothes. But in fact, it's a self-sustaining dumping ground. These clothes aren't given to Africa. African economies and countries are buying these secondhand clothes. They aren't for free. And in 2016, a block of East and West African countries, so the countries that receive the most secondhand clothes, they actually decided to refuse. They banded together. 13 countries banded together and said, no, we're not accepting secondhand clothes anymore. We need to focus on our local textile industries. And then American lobbying groups and Donald Trump said, well, then we're going to take away AGOA, the African Growth and Opportunities Act, which allows duty-free travel and trade from those African countries to America. So then 12 of the 13 countries said, okay, guess we're going to start, going to continue receiving secondhand clothes, except Rwanda, because Rwanda wasn't benefiting as much from AGOA.
Yeah.
So it's not a choice. African countries don't have a choice on whether to accept secondhand clothes or not.
Mm.
It's forced. So Africa, in fact, has banned the import of secondhand clothes from 2002. So Danusa, etc., it's legal, but the import of those clothes isn't legal.
Mm. How big is this, I guess, sector, this market, this economy that it would essentially be shoved down our throats by the Trump administration?
Well, it's not just the Trump administration.
Sure.
I think he can use as a scapegoat. It's just, it's imperialism. There's this term that's been dubbed recently called waste colonialism. And it's kind of, yeah, it's all about this kind of one-way trade. But the trade is massive. So, I mean, in South Africa, in my context, I mean, every Monday, Thursday and Saturday are when new bales arrive in Danusa with the best and the brightest. But that is tons and tons, 3 days a week, of clothing arriving in. And unfortunately, over the last 5 years, or last 7 years, as I've been involved in the secondhand trade, the quality has gone down significantly, because we're getting fast fashion, we're getting manufactured cheap textiles, rather than the quality, good brands, good materials, made in USA, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really threatened the livelihood of the importers, the traders, the thrifters, the resellers, because now we're just getting dumped with all this junk.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest market, Cantaminto in Ghana, in Accra, 40% of the items they receive now are usable. The other 60% are waste. So then it takes each country involved now has all of the world's waste, all of the waste of the West, of fashion weeks from the last 3 decades, that they have to dispose of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's caused numerous sewage blockages, mudslides, dumped in the ocean, et cetera, et cetera. We are paying to take care of their waste.
Yeah.
And I think it's very much an issue of neo-imperialism and then colonialism.
Give us a sense of, first of all, you know, how we deem this as usable, not usable, thriftable, sellable, and how should we be dealing with, as a continent, if we, you know, ever get it together to, I guess, reach a consensus on how we deal with fashion waste, what might be the best way to do so?
Well, I think the main thing is about choice. I mean, these aren't donated goods. I think donation in definition is about, you don't really have any other option, so you're forced to, say, wear a donated Nike sweatshirt.
Yeah.
But it's about choice. Obviously, we've all got our own unique styles, new unique interpretations of styles, so you kind of want what you want. And we don't have a choice in this trade, because of American lobbying pressure, because of the money, because of the government officials getting bribes from the import of these clothes, whether it's legal, whether it's not legal. So I think the future would be is the West just needs to stop making and consuming so many clothes. Because according to McKinsey, people in America now consume 7 times more clothes than they did in 2001. And 25% of clothes worn in America, 25% of clothes bought in America are only worn once. So it's a massive issue of the fashion industry. And unfortunately, the African continent is receiving the brunt of it, which is why this Mummy Water and 355 collaboration is, I wouldn't say important, but it's got important points and it's very provocative in what we are doing with these secondhand clothes.
Yeah, it's incredibly provocative. And, you know, it gave me sort of huge pause and thinking about, first of all, my own shopping habits. And in many ways, you know, societally, culturally, what's out there in the zeitgeist is, as you said, 25% of Americans or clothes bought in America are only worn once. And it's the Instagramification of life, the perfect picture, the perfect outfit, you know, that outfit of the day, where you're wondering and you're asking yourself, how many original outfits of the day can an individual have? Is it sustainable? Is it even healthy for us to expect fresh new looks or hashtag LEWKS, you know, looks every day? Yeah. And if we're going to talk about sustainable fashion, what do we even, there's got to be such a huge cultural think that, is it within the sort of ambit of the consumer to change? Because you mentioned something at the top of our conversation, which is creating, you know, these manufacturers creating and generating sort of, I guess, a natural demand for their product. How do we stop or utilize the phrase sustainable fashion? Is there such a thing?
Yes, so I would just like to just reference this collection. So it's about, I mean, it's a numbered range of limited edition sweatshirts, and most of them are from the 1990s. So printed on like Ross Athletic, Champion, Ralph Lauren, Fruit of the Loom, Gildan. And they've all been sourced in Indonesia. So with my friends and I in town, and then we reprinted on them, repurposed them, reappropriated them. So it was very much focusing on being a bottom up collaboration.
Sure.
So it was about a bunch of thrifters and myself kind of getting together. We did the shot, we did the shoot, the campaign together. And then the collection Amerique Afrique Amerique is it. The sweatshirts themselves came from America to Africa.
Yes.
And now we are giving them kind of this Veblen good quality. We are reinterpreting them and sending them back. So they're only available to purchase in Los Angeles at the Mummy Water store and then in Mummy Water online in America. And that's the whole point of it, is that it's, no, take it back. We don't want your waste, but now you want your waste. Yeah. So, yeah, as you're saying, it's like, I mean, fast fashion has absolutely decimated the trade because the quality sweatshirts of this collection, it's quite mind-blowing when you actually feel the texture, the materials, and the cut compared to what you can buy currently firsthand.
Yeah.
Like, the change is mind-blowing. So not only is this collection politically charged with incredible graphics, but it's also, like, maddeningly high quality.
Yeah, maddeningly high quality. That's a phrase. That's a phrase I haven't heard before, actually. But you know, speak to us about just that repurposing before sending it back to the US and, of course, being sold in LA. Just that creative process. Talk to us about the ideation and what the collection now looks like.
Okay, so I've always loved to see clothing as a blank canvas, especially within the different contexts of Johannesburg and in Africa, is clothes are interpreted in the way you want to interpret clothes. And whether that's or from the imposition of Western codes or colonialism or being part of a white collar industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always viewed clothes as a blank canvas for you to appropriate or you to be appropriated by. And a lot of my friends based in the Johannesburg CBD, one of my friends, Mohammed Abbas, runs this company called SMS Co.
Yeah.
Or Menzi runs a company called Fabricanta. Doty runs a company called Doty Garage, and they all sell secondhand clothes or reinterpreted secondhand clothes. So there's been a long-standing tradition, because of the amount of clothes in Danusa,
yeah,
of screen printing them and making them your own and giving a new identity, new localized Johannesburg cosmopolitan identity to these Western clothes. So that was the main idea of the brand, and not the brand, sorry, the collection.
The collection, yeah.
And they're all included in the campaign because it is not just one kind of idea, one little ideology. It's a kind of, it's an amalgamation of all of that. And yeah, the whole thing was about sending it back. It was about doing a completely local, completely, I don't know, authentically Johannesburg and authentically the kind of culture I've grown up with and that I work within to, I don't know, reflect fashion that's bottom up, because everything's bottom down. So we are appropriating the top of fashion. We're not appropriating the little guy, which is what fashion is inherently based upon.
Mm. What's the reception been like with this collection in LA? And of course, you know, the reception, not just of the collection itself, but the story that comes with it. In many ways, I want to say that if you love Mami Water Surf, at any rate, you've already been won over by you know, the story, the concept, the ethos around this particular fashion brand. But, you know, reception, how's that landed?
Yeah, I mean, so I absolutely love Mami Water, and I love what they're doing in terms of being an absolutely ethical and local South African company. And the reception in Los Angeles has been very, very good. I think quite a few have sold out. We're already sending a second batch of the secondhand sweatshirts to Los Angeles. But the one thing I have heard, so I actually haven't been there,
mm-hmm.
but I've heard that a lot of them, we had to change the hang tags because a lot of the customers didn't know where Johannesburg was. So we had to do Johannesburg, South Africa. So that's the one thing I can say.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, yeah, a little geography lesson as well on top of discussing the ethics of fast fashion. You know, before we let you go, Declan, I think not to proselytize, but, you know, your own sort of suggestions or perhaps final message on how you'd like us to start thinking around the clothes, how we consume clothes, most importantly, how we perhaps even look after them during their lifespan, and what we ought to start thinking around about when it comes to, you know, saying goodbye to them and handing them over perhaps to someone else who will love them, appreciate those items, and sustaining that life cycle of a garment, of an item of clothing.
Well, I think I'd firstly say is buy local, buy quality. I mean, Johannesburg is the center of fashion right now. We've got Teba Magugu, who did Dior and Valentino and etc. We've got Richard Mutis, yeah. Adidas, we've got da-da-da-da-da. But we've also got other local brands that are more affordable and are good quality. So buy clothes that were made near you. Buy clothes that were made with local cotton, local wool, local mohair. We've got the best mohair industry in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I mean, I got into secondhand clothes and thrifting and the whole idea of fashion just through my dad, because he always had a bunch of crew necks from the 1990s. And the quality was just amazing and the fit was amazing. And then obviously the nostalgia of it being my dad.
Sure.
So it's keep it as close to yourself as possible. Like, we're buying from Zara. I mean, we're buying from European brands. We're buying from Swedish brands. We're buying from Chinese brands. Just try and keep it as close to you as possible. So wear your dad's sweatshirt, buy local. I think we should just be more simple than complex. We should stop be following, as you said, that's Instagram trends. We should stop following Instagram trends and just follow what you like and what's close to you, because that makes the world easier. And the ills of globalization are about its complexity and about its power dynamics. And I think by keeping it close to yourself, you kind of avoid all of that.
Simplify your life. Well, Declan, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you this morning. I really appreciated your insights, of course, and I'm sure we'll be speaking again in the future.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Enjoy your day.